What if the most critical communication infrastructure in your business is quietly running on, like, a bloated 30-year-old house of cards? Support for today's deep dive actually comes from SafeServer.
Yeah, which is super relevant to this.
Right, because when we talk about digital infrastructure, the default move is usually to just, hand the keys over to the massive proprietary behemoths.
Oh, definitely, like Microsoft Exchange or Google Workspace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what happens when you need absolute verifiable control over your data? For a lot of organizations, especially when you're dealing with legal, regulatory, or strict compliance requirements,
Yeah, things like email retention policies.
right, or audit trails, or protecting highly sensitive financial records. In those cases, data sovereignty is literally a legal mandate.
You have to know exactly where your data lives.
And who has access to it? So SafeServer provides this really powerful open source alternative to those proprietary giants. They handle the hosting entirely on secure German servers to ensure strict data protection.
Which is huge for compliance, yeah.
Exactly. And they advise on the implementation, and they can be commissioned for consulting on robust open source solutions like, well, the exact one we're exploring today. You can find out more and take real control of your infrastructure at www.safeserver.de.
It just fundamentally shifts the power dynamic, when you realize you don't have to permanently rent your core communication tools from a mega corporation.
It really does.
There are these highly viable, incredibly secure alternatives out there, completely free from vendor lock-in, if you just understand how to look under the hood.
Well, welcome everyone. Today we're opening up a topic that usually makes even reasonably tech-savvy people run for the hills.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're talking about hosting your own email server. Our sources today are the official GitHub repository and website excerpts for a piece of software called OpenSMTPD. And our mission here is really to demystify the server-side SMTP protocol and give you, the beginner listening right now, a clear, jargon-free entry point into understanding how this vital piece of the internet actually works.
Because email is arguably the absolute lifeblood of the modern internet. I mean, it just is.
Without a doubt.
Yet the actual mechanics of how a message gets from person A to person B, it remains entirely invisible to most of the people who rely on it every single day.
Okay, let's unpack this. Taking control of your email infrastructure is a complete game changer. But before we talk about how to install this specific software, we need to understand the fundamental problem it was trying to solve in the first place.
Right.
Like, why build a completely new mail server from scratch?
Well, to understand the motivation, we kind of have to look at what OpenSMTPD actually does. At its core, it's a free implementation of the server-side SMTP protocol.
SMTP meaning
Simple Mail Transfer Protocol, yeah. It's specifically defined by this technical standard known as RFC 53221.
Okay, let me throw out an analogy to kind of ground this for you listening. Think of the SMTP protocol as like the universal rule book for a digital post office.
I like that, yeah.
It dictates how the letters are stamped, how the addresses are read by the machines, and how the mail trucks from entirely different cities manage to actually talk to each other.
Exactly. And OpenSMTPD, then, is the actual physical routing facility. It's taking those letters from ordinary machines and ensuring they get to other systems speaking that universal SMTP language.
Right.
The protocol is just the abstract set of rules. The implementation is the actual machinery doing the heavy lifting. OpenSMTPD was primarily developed by Gil Shehad and Eric Ferreau, working alongside the OpenBSD project.
Okay.
And their driving force for creating this new machinery is honestly incredibly relatable to anyone who works in tech. It was born out of pure dissatisfaction with other implementations.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for a second here. With so many massive prepackaged mail servers already out there that have literally been running the internet for decades, why bother rewriting the post office from scratch? Aren't established protocols already sort of set in stone? It just seems like reinventing the wheel when we already have heavyweights in the space.
No, it's a completely fair question. I mean, the protocol itself, that RFC 5321 rule book we mentioned, is incredibly standard. It hasn't fundamentally changed its core mission in decades.
Right.
But the implementations of it over the years had become just these massive tangled webs of code. If you look at the historical context, older mail servers like SendMail, they were written in the 1980s.
Oh, wow. So long before the modern hostile internet existed.
Exactly. Over the decades, developers just kept bolting on new features, patching newly discovered vulnerabilities, and adding workarounds for every weird edge case imaginable.
So they just got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, they became monolithic, incredibly complex to configure, and notoriously difficult to secure.
So the dissatisfaction wasn't just about the software, like looking ugly on a screen. It was about the fact that decades of bloated code create a massive surface area for hackers to attack.
Precisely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to look at the community building OpenSMTPD. It's part of the OpenBSD project.
Right, which has a very specific reputation.
Yeah, in the software world, the OpenBSD community is famous for an almost obsessive focus on proactive security and clean, auditable code. They simply do not tolerate bloat.
I mean, that makes sense.
They wanted a fairly complete SMTP implementation, but one that was entirely stripped down, streamlined, and inherently secure by its very design. And crucially, it operates under the permissive ISC license.
Meaning what, exactly?
It means the software is freely usable and reusable by everyone. They weren't just building a better post office for their own private use. They were giving the blueprints away to the world.
Which is an incredible engine for innovation, right?
Yeah.
Dissatisfaction driving a desire for something cleaner, safer, and entirely open.
Absolutely.
But since OpenSMTPD was born out of this desire for a better system from a notoriously security-obsessed community, how does that philosophy actually manifest in the architecture? Like, how is it built under the hood?
Well, looking at the repository data, the code base is overwhelmingly written in C. It makes up about 84.5% of the code.
Okay.
And C is an incredibly fast language. It gives the developer direct access to the hardware's memory, which makes it highly performant for a network server handling, you know, thousands of messages.
Wait, hold on. Giving a developer direct access to memory is exactly what usually causes the security nightmares we were just talking about, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Isn't C notorious for memory leaks and buffer overflows? If you give a developer that much raw power, you give them the power to accidentally leave a back door wide open.
You're spot on. That is the eternal double-edged sword of writing software in C. For you listening who might not be familiar with a buffer overflow, imagine you have a digital box designed to hold exactly 10 characters of text.
Okay.
In a language like C, if you aren't perfectly careful with your code, a malicious hacker can send 100 characters to that box. The extra 90 characters spill over the edges of the box and overwrite the adjacent memory of the server. Yeah. And if the hacker crafts those extra characters to be executable code, the server might just blindly execute it, giving the attacker total control of the machine.
So, how does a team obsessed with security build a network-facing mail server in a language prone to those exact kinds of catastrophic spills?
They mitigate the risk by relying heavily on a structural concept called privilege separation.
Privilege separation.
Yeah. Instead of running the entire mail server as one giant, powerful program, they break it apart. When you set this up, the system requires a specific user structure at the operating system level to run securely.
What does that look like?
It requires at least one user, which defaults to a name called MTPD. But the documentation strongly, strongly prefers that you use two completely separate users, SMTPD and SMTPQ.
Okay, let's visualize this, because the mechanics of privilege separation are actually brilliant. Let's compare this two-user system to a bank.
Okay.
The first user, SMTPD, is the friendly teller at the front desk. That teller is the only one interacting with the outside public. They accept incoming mail, they chat with the servers across the internet.
Right.
But the second user, SMTPQ, is the manager locked securely inside the thick steel vault, handling the actual sensitive queue of emails and the core files.
What's fascinating here is how the operating system enforces the separation. Because the teller and the vault manager are completely different user accounts, the underlying operating system kernel builds a hard wall between them.
Ah, I see.
If a malicious hacker sends a highly sophisticated buffer overflow attack and successfully compromises the teller at the front desk, the damage stops there.
Because the teller literally does not have the operating system privileges to open the vault.
Exactly. Even if the hacker completely takes over this MTPD process, they can't access the core data, they can't read the sensitive email queues, and they can't take over the entire server.
That's incredibly smart.
The developers are incredibly explicit about this design choice, too. The documentation specifically notes that using two users instead of one will increase security by a large factor.
I mean, I'd hope so.
But they go a step further. They actually state that if you voluntarily choose to use only one user, you either want to actively reduce your security or, and this is a direct quote from the creators, you have absolute more faith in our code than we do.
Wait, really? You have more faith in our code than we do?
Yep.
That is a wild thing for a software developer to put in their official documentation.
Right. But it is the ultimate hallmark of great security engineering. Hubris is the enemy of security. By baking privilege separation into the very fabric of the software, and by openly acknowledging that no human written code is ever completely perfect, they protect the user from unforeseen zero-day vulnerabilities. It's a philosophy of assuming breach. They assume the front desk teller might eventually be compromised by a clever enough attack, and they design the architecture so the vault remains impenetrable anyway.
But building a mathematically secure digital vault is one thing. Getting people to actually use it is another. Usually, this level of obsessive security means the software is a total nightmare to install and configure.
Oh, totally.
Is that the trade-off we're looking at here? If a beginner sitting at home wants to take control of their email routing, how do they actually get this running without needing an advanced degree in computer science?
This is where OpenSMTKD really shines as an entry point into self-hosting. Historically, setting up a secure mail server meant downloading raw source code, resolving dozens of obscure software dependencies manually, and compiling everything from scratch. It was a chaotic process that would easily frustrate a beginner. But OpenSMTPD has incredibly broad operating system support natively. It runs on Linux, macOS, FreeBSD, NetBSD, OpenBSD, and DragonflyBSD.
So basically, almost any Unix-like environment you might be running on a server or a home lab.
Exactly. And more importantly, you don't have to compile it from source, though the documentation provides the exact instructions if you really want to. The source docs do list dependencies you'd need for compiling, like libvent and OpenSSL.
Just to briefly clarify for you listening, a mail server needs a library like libvent. Because if 5,000 spam bots try to connect to your server at the exact same millisecond...
Which happens?
Right. You don't want the server trying to open 5,000 separate processes and just crashing your machine's memory entirely. Libvent handles all those massive simultaneous network connections efficiently in the background.
Precisely. But for the beginner who just wants to get the software onto their machine to start learning, they don't need to worry about manually installing those underlying libraries.
Really?
Not at all. You just use your system's native package manager. You're on a standard Debian or Ubuntu server. You just type sudo apt install opens mppd, and the package manager handles all the dependencies for you.
Oh, that's incredibly easy.
Yeah. If you're on Alpine Linux, it's app install. On Fedora, it's yum. On OpenSUSE, it's zipper. You can even use mcports on macOS. It's also fully available via container images if you prefer deploying with Docker. The barrier to entry for simply getting the software onto your machine is incredibly low.
But here's where it gets really interesting, though. Installation is usually the easy part. The moment you actually have to configure a mail server is usually when it turns into a nightmare of spaghetti code and like 50 different text files scattered across your hard drive.
Yeah, the configuration. To appreciate how OpenSMTPD solves this, you really have to look at what came before it. The configuration file for legacy servers like SendMail, a file called sendmail.cf- was infamous in the IT world.
I've heard horror stories.
It literally looked like random line noise. It was so complex that administrators had to use an entirely separate macro language just to write the configuration file that would then run the mail server.
That's absurd.
OpenSMTPD abandons all of that legacy complexity. The core configuration lives in one single file, just one. It's located at excesasmtpd.com.
Wow, so you aren't chasing down hidden variables across a dozen nested directories.
Nope. You define your rules, your domains, and your routing right there in plain text. And to control the software itself, OpenSMTPD gives you a single unified utility called SMTPTL.
Okay, SMTPTL.
Right. In Unix terms, the mail server runs as a daemon, which is simply a background process that quietly sits there listening for incoming network connections without needing you to interact with it constantly.
Makes sense.
When you do need to interact with that daemon to start it, stop it, or peek inside the queue of pending emails, you just use that one SMTPTL tool.
One plain text config file, one control tool. That is a massive architectural shift from the legacy systems. But that actually raises a really important question about the reality of modernizing infrastructure.
What's that?
Let's say I'm an IT administrator managing an older server environment. I have a lot of legacy applications running maybe some 15-year-old billing scripts or system notification tools.
Yeah.
Those old scripts are hard-coded to look for a legacy program, specifically SendMail, to push an invoice or an alert out to the internet.
Right. Very common scenario.
If I install OpenSMTPD and everything is now managed by this entirely new SMTPTL tool, doesn't installing this software immediately break every single legacy script that's blindly shouting for send mail.
It's a massive roadblock for modernizing infrastructure, yeah. The fear of breaking a 15-year-old billing script is exactly why so many companies leave bloated, vulnerable legacy software running on their servers.
Because nobody wants to touch it.
Exactly. You do not want to rewrite decades of legacy scripts just to upgrade your mail router. But the developers behind OpenSMTPD anticipated this exact friction point. They built a historical interface compatibility mode directly into the software.
Oh, how does that actually work mechanically? Does OpenSMTPD have to run like a secondary fate legacy server in the background just to catch those requests?
The mechanism is much more elegant than that. It happens at the operating system level. OpenSMTPD simply impersonates those legacy tools.
Impersonates them?
Yeah. That single control utility we just talked about, ngpapytl, is programmed to operate in compatibility mode if it detects that it's being called by a historical name like sendmail, nualysis, mail, or makemap.
So the new tool just puts on a disguise and pretends to be the old tool.
Yeah.
But how does the operating system know to route the request to the new tool in the first place?
Through simple mapping. On systems equipped with a mail wrapper, you just edit a single text file called etsexymailer.conf and map the old legacy names to the new path. Jews MTK pale. On other systems, you rely on symbolic links. A symbolic link is basically a forwarding address at the post office.
Right.
You tell the operating system, hey, if a script comes looking for the file name sendmail, just silently route that request directly to SMTPayPal instead.
That is incredibly clever. From the perspective of your 15-year-old billing script, absolutely nothing has changed.
Nothing at all.
The script generates the invoice. It shouts out for sendmail, just like it has for a decade. But the operating system intercepts that call, forwards it to 7TPPATL, which catches the request, processes it through OpenSMTPD's highly secure, privilege-separated vault, and sends the email out to the internet. The old script is none the wiser.
It allows a beginner, or a seasoned systems administrator, to modernize a server's infrastructure instantly without having to touch a single line of legacy code in their applications.
That's huge.
The OpenSMTPD project leaves it up to individual package maintainers to set these symbolic links up natively during installation, but the documentation provides the exact command line instructions to do it yourself if needed. It elegantly bridges the gap between the chaotic, bloated past of email servers and a clean, minimalist future.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It means that OpenSMTPD takes what has historically been one of the most intimidating complex tasks in IT, setting up a secure mail server, and turns into a highly transparent, manageable process.
Yeah, it really does.
It gives you a clean entry point into the world of internet routing, born entirely out of a community's refusal to accept bloated software as a status quo. It proves that with the right architectural design, like operating system level privilege separation and a single plain text configuration file, extreme complexity does not have to be the default state of the internet.
It strips away the intimidation factor entirely. It allows you to peer behind the curtain of how these massive global systems actually communicate and gives you the tools to participate in that network on your own terms without sacrificing security.
And as we talk about participating in that network securely, we really need to circle back to our sponsor, SafeServer. While OpenSMTPD is incredibly accessible for learning the ropes and, you know, setting up your own systems, let's look at the practical reality for organizations.
Right, when the stakes are higher.
Exactly. If you are a business, an association, or any group dealing with actual client data, the stakes are exponentially higher. You stand to gain massive tangible benefits from switching to an open source solution like this. You eliminate vendor lock-in, you gain complete transparency over your routing, and you achieve true data sovereignty.
Which is so critical.
But actually managing that infrastructure day-to-day, ensuring 247 uptime, aggressively applying security patches, and maintaining strict regulatory compliance that can quickly drain your internal IT resources dry.
Oh, completely. It's a full-time job.
Which is exactly why professionally managed hosting often makes far more sense than self-operation for organizations. SafeServer gives you the best of both worlds, the uncompromised freedom and security of open source software backed by professional, managed hosting on secure German servers.
Yeah.
They're available for consulting on OpenSMTPD and similar robust alternatives, tailoring the implementation to your exact organizational needs. You can explore how they can help secure your communications infrastructure at www.safeserver.de.
Because, honestly, choosing the right software is only half the battle. Choosing the right environment to run it in is what dictates your long-term success. Whether you're a learner experimenting in a home lab on a weekend or an enterprise securing a decade of legal audit trails.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today, from the basic mechanics of how RFC FAP321 actually moves a message across the globe, to the brilliant humility of assuming your own code might fail and building a vault to contain the blast. But before we wrap up this deep dive, we'd like to leave you with something to chew on.
Yeah. If we look at the core lesson of what OpenSMTPD accomplished, if email routing, which is arguably one of the oldest, most vital, and historically complex arteries of the entire internet, can be simplified this elegantly by a few developers who are just completely dissatisfied with the status quo,
right?
What other bloated legacy systems in our daily tech stack are we just blindly accepting? What other monolithic, insecure pieces of software are sitting on your server or your desktop right now, completely ripe for a minimalist open source revolution?
A great question to end on. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We'll catch you on the next one.